Well, some of that reckless love of God is on full display here in Genesis 45 and 46, all the way through the special moment in the life of Joseph and his brothers and his father and all the wives, all the children, all the grandchildren, this family so blessed, the nation of Egypt blessed, the surrounding territories blessed, and today we're going to talk about being blessed. It's a very popular term today. It's even got its own hashtag. Hashtag blessed. You can sign it. You see a lot of people posting, I'm blessed. Usually when you ask somebody, I like going into a store or something, and you know, the clerk, and just say, well, how are you? And usually they say, I'm fine, or I'm good, something like this. One time walked in not all that long ago and said, hey, how are you? And said, I'm as happy as if I had good sense. I counted my change double when it came back, just to make sure that everything is up there. But a lot of times, and what I like to hear most is someone to say, I'm blessed, because I know there's something more going on than the perfunctory, I'm kind of fine, and blessed. Now, some people, as I research this, are kind of naysayers about this. They say, oh, this whole hashtag blessed or I'm blessed type thing is a way of really boasting, but appearing to be humble. I don't know, hashtag naysayers. I like the idea itself on this, because we are blessed. And we all know this, and at times we forget this reality, and we often can have it slip right out of our minds how blessed we actually are. And I want us to think about this common thought of being blessed, because it becomes so evident here in the life of Joseph and his brothers. We're going to pick up in chapter 45 in just a moment at verse 16, but preceding this is when Joseph has had that moment when unable to contain himself any longer. He has revealed his identity to his brothers. And we saw last time that he immediately, upon revealing himself to them, comforted them and helped to assuage some of their fear and emotions by saying, what you did and all that happened in the past, God has meant it for good. And he has saved countless lives because of using me and, in a sense, also even using your evil. And so basically what we would say today, he told his brothers, it's all good. It's all right, because I see what God was doing. Well, that was one blessing, to be sure, for Joseph and obviously for his brothers. But that was just the tip of the iceberg of what Joseph had in store, what his mind had conceived by the grace of God for blessing his family. Verse 16, he has called his family, and he said, now when the news was heard in Pharaoh's house that Joseph's brothers had come, that they were there, it pleased Pharaoh's and his servants. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your beasts and go to the land of Canaan, and take your father and your household and come to me, and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are ordered, do this, take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Do not concern yourselves with your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the command of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the journey. To each of them he gave changes of garments, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. To his father he sent as follows, 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and sustenance for his father on the journey. Well, right off the bat, insights into the nature of God's blessings towards us begin to surface here in this passage. And what we see the Bible teaching about blessing is almost packed into this amazing passage, a part of which we have just read here at this point. Did you notice here in the passage how Benjamin, the youngest, Joseph's brother by the same mother, was favored above the others? The others are given some changes of clothing, verse 22, they're given some garments, but Benjamin is given a huge amount of money, 300 pieces of silver, that was no small amount of silver, and 5 changes of garments. And this really begins to help us understand what the Bible teaches about God's blessings. And one of the things is this, that not every one of us receives the same blessings. In this case, Benjamin gets far more than his other brothers. Was that fair? It's almost like some of you parents have done, you know, you serve up the dessert at home and your kids are little, one of them is going to whine that one of the other siblings got more than the other did somehow. Yeah, I'm seeing you shaking your head, you know how this goes. This case is even almost worse than that. It's almost like there was this huge piece of cake and one slice is given to all the other brothers and Benjamin gets all the other 11 slices out of the 12 and it's all his. It's completely unfair, it seems, and we look at this, what do we make of this going on? Well, one of the things we have to say is, and I want you to hear this very clearly, when we look at the Bible and blessing and how not everyone receives the same blessing, it seems the lesson is obvious. And it's this. God is not a socialist. Sorry. If you've been leaning towards any of the promises from certain political campaigns that socialism is the way to go, trust me, it's not God's way. Never has been, never will be. Now, don't misunderstand me. When it comes to human dignity and respecting others, being kind towards others, being graceful towards others as we have received grace, God is all about that. In that realm of human dignity, God is a socialist. All people are equal at the foot of the cross. All people are created in the image of God. So let's get that straight. But when it comes to the idea that everybody must have in this life the same stuff as others, God has never been about that. We see this in Jesus' own parables, for example. Jesus talks about in one extended parable in Matthew chapter 20, how that a man had a large vineyard. Time for harvest had came. He needed workers, so he went to the marketplace, as was the custom of that time, kind of like today would be the union hall. And he hires a group of men to go out into the field and work, which would be about a 12-hour day in those days. So they go out, they agree for the normal day's wage, a denarius, and they go out and begin to work. The man realizes they're not going to get done. This crop is way too big. I need more workers. So he goes back, hires more, and then he goes back later and hires even more. Finally, at the most of the end of the day, there's only about an hour left of the workday. And he goes back and he finds men standing around. He says, what are you guys standing around? He says, well, nobody's hired us, one of the men said. He goes, well, I'll tell you what, you go into the vineyard and whatever's fair, I'll pay you at the end of the time. Okay, something's better than nothing. If you know the parable, you know what happens next. The end of the day comes, the man lines up, starting with the ones who had worked the least amount, and gives them a full day's wage for 1 hour work. The other men who worked most of the day begin to think they're going to get more. They don't. They're given the same thing. They begin to complain and moan, post some nasty stuff on Instagram and everything else about this guy. They're already tweeting it out. And Jesus has the man say to them, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious? Because I am generous. They didn't all get the same thing. And clearly, Jesus in part of this parable is showing us, you know, that's how life goes. Some people are going to have more talents and abilities. Some are going to have more success. Some are going to have more stuff than others have. Some are going to be better looking. Some are going to be smarter. Some are going to be talented in different areas. Obviously, when we look around at the human landscape, some people, not all people are meant to be intellectuals. Not all people are meant to be one or anything. It's just how God has laid it out. The parable of the talents is the same thing. Jesus tells about a wealthy guy who has to go on a business trip, and so he gathers his servants together, and he hands them an amount of money called a talent. It's a certain weight of money, and to one servant he gives 5 talents, to one he gives 2, and to another he gives 1. But all of the men are expected to bring some kind of profit with that money back to their owner. Why weren't all 3 given an equal divvy up share? Why would one get 5 talents and one get 2 and another just get 1? It's just how life is. It's kind of like Jesus saying, the poor we'll have with us how often? Always. So as much as we try to get our mind around this, how is that fair? Part of us might kind of rebel. Why would God do it this way? Well, I can think of 2 reasons. One is that, first of all, and this is really tough for us to get in our minds, it is that we really don't deserve any blessings from God. I know that's tough to really kind of let sink in, but we've got to look at things biblically from God's point of view. I know we live in a land, thankfully, that where you work hard, you can often be rewarded well for that. And so we think, you know, if I do the right thing, if I'm faithful to God, all these things, and somehow God owes me because of my faithfulness. Nothing could be further from the truth. God really doesn't owe us anything. And yet, he is so pleased to bless us. What did Joseph's brothers deserve from Pharaoh's hand due to Pharaoh's relationship with Joseph? Not one thing. They did not deserve Joseph's forgiveness. They then certainly did not deserve anything from Pharaoh, all the wealth that he dropped on them, all the promises saying, don't worry about your stuff. He can just leave it for a rummage sale. You come on to Egypt and I'll supply everything you need. What they really deserved was death. What Joseph could have done and what would have been, in a sense, justice was, yeah, I want my younger brother Benjamin. He's been the innocent one. I love him and care for him. But these other brothers, they lied. They told my dad I was dead. They sent me here and caused me to be in prison. They should be at least in prison themselves or put to death. Right? That's what they deserved. We are sinners. We are rebels. God really owes us nothing. Even after we come to him, we still sin. We still rebel, right? We all do. So we have to work and understand. And really, when we understand this, it makes God's blessings even that much more special. We realize all the things, the good stuff that we have had in our life. And remember, James 1 teaches that every good gift comes down from above. Every good thing you and I have received has not been because we've been lucky or because we're so shrewd with our business abilities or we're so talented. Whatever we have, whatever abilities, whatever other kind of blessings we have, God has given them to us out of sheer love and grace because we simply don't deserve them. Second of all, with this, God can do whatever he wants with his possessions. This whole world is his. If he wants to distribute some the way he wants to, he can. But we have to understand this. God is not arbitrary. It may seem that way, but we need to understand that God, being Lord over all things, is Lord in holiness and righteousness. He does us no wrong by seemingly withholding something from us and giving something the same to someone else, or vice versa. We simply have this. It also means that whatever success we have never allows us the right to look down on others that seemingly have less than what we do. We can't, because whatever we have, our abilities, our work ethic, whatever great things are about our personalities, our drive, God has given them to us. God has brought those to us. So everything we have, we give praise to him, and we see that not everyone has the same. And God has set it up that way according to his perfect will. That's why I said, I know it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but very seriously, God isn't a socialist. I really believe that for all of us practically in this room, all of us could have a lot more financially from God. I mean, he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He could give every one of us in this room could be millionaires multiple times over. But if God did that, like we see with a lot of people who suddenly come in to big money through a lottery, many, many of them, it destroys their life in time. Interesting that in the parable of the talents, Jesus does give the idea. He says, one gets five, one gets two, one gets one, according to their ability. So it's a mercy that God does not often give us more. And so if we can see this, begin to understand it, it can help us deal with when sometimes we're tempted to think we've been cheated somehow in God's handing out of his blessings. Well, there's more that goes on here in verse 24. So Joseph sends his brothers away, and as they depart, he tells them, do not quarrel on the journey. Nice little warning for them, because they're going to be a lot of hours, they're going to be alone, and they could easily start picking at each other. As you know, siblings do that, even in their 40s, 50s, and above. And so they go up from Egypt, and they come to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob. I would love to see how this meeting went. They told him, saying, Joseph is still alive. You ever have to tell the truth to your parents after you'd lied to them for a long time when you were a kid? Remember how uncomfortable that was? Could you imagine? What if even now, if your parents are still alive, there's something you got to go back to your own mom, dad, I got to tell you something. Joseph is still alive, and indeed, not only is he alive, he is ruler over all the land of Egypt. But he was stunned, you think? For he did not believe in, gee, I wonder why. And when they told him all the words of Joseph that he had spoken to him, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. Then Israel, or Jacob, said, it is enough. My son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. What a moment. You talk about a high moment in biblical stories. This is one. This is one for sure. Here's the deal. Jacob now is being blessed. And here's the second factor about God's blessing is that the fullness of God's blessings are impossible to really imagine. We really don't know how much we have been blessed. I mean that very seriously. We don't know how many times God has kept us from harm. We don't know how many times God has spared our life from some accident. You know, the car, we're safe in a near miss. And other times, we have no clue of the people that God has kept away from us that wanted to harm us. Diseases, other things that have come into life. That's the thing. It's a non-event. So obviously it doesn't register. But I really think that one of the things that heaven's going to reveal to us are all those times that God did keep us safe, that we were unaware of the work of his angels, of the work of the power of his spirit, whatever it may be. It's hard to imagine and how that God is really always there working many times for us to bless us when we're not even aware. Think about this years ago. I was in college my senior year, and I was trying to go to what was called the Harvard Seminary, Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. That was the seminary I wanted to go to more than any other. Rigorous program, high demands, and I wanted to get in there. But I didn't know how I was going to do it. Pastoring a little small church, and just finances just weren't going to happen, and they just didn't seem to be working out. I applied and everything else, and looking at ways, thinking, praying about ways we could try to get money to be able to afford to at least move and get there and maybe get jobs and all these kind of things. Well, one day I walked into the cafeteria, and a professor that I had for philosophy and several New Testament classes, Dr. Clyde Tilley, was there with some of the other professors. It was a small school. And so we saw each other regularly. And so I walked in, and all of a sudden, Dr. Tilley waves at me, puts his finger up, waves at me. He says, hey, come here. I said, yeah, what's up? And he said, have you got a letter from Southern Seminary? I said, no, I haven't gotten anything recently. And he said, oh. He said, well, okay, you're going to get a letter. He said, because I want you to know that what I've done was several weeks ago, I sent your name in for a presidential preaching scholarship. It was the biggest scholarship that Southern Seminary awards to anyone. And he said, I just got confirmation they've awarded you that scholarship. I knew it was fine. And so here I am because of all that. Whatever, you know, this is God's blessing. This, and here's the thing. I had no clue that Dr. Tilley was doing that. No clue whatsoever. He didn't tell me, hey, I want you to know I've sent your name in. So you might be, he just, after he got word, he said. So this is what I'm saying. People and others, God has stirred in your life and working to bless you. We never forget that behind the scenes, God is working not just to keep us from having something bad happen. I know bad things happen, but we don't know how many bad things could have happened if it wasn't for God's grace. But he is there. And the same thing, all of you, I think, if you could think about it, would have somewhat similar stories as well. We never know how God might bless us tomorrow. But there's more here yet on God's blessing. And that is the fact that others are blessed by us being blessed. By our personal blessings, we bless others. Verse 1, chapter 46. So Israel, or Jacob, his name, remember, God changed to Israel, set out with all that he had and came to Beersheba. And I love it. He's kind of a hoarder, pack rat. Because remember, Pharaoh said, leave your stuff. Don't worry, Jacob goes, no, I'm taking it. You know, I want all my junk. Make sure I have plenty of that there. You need to learn minimalism a little bit, but he didn't. And so he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. Jacob is getting it. He's entered into the blessing. He's opening to what God is doing. God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. He'd been here before. Remember, this is the Jacob by the river with the angels on the ladder of God. He said, this is Bethel. Same thing kind of happening. Here I am. He said, I am the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt. It had to be a little kind of scary. Egypt was a very pagan, powerful nation. But God comes to reassure him, for I will make you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt and will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will close your eyes, meaning he will be there when you pass. So he rises, he goes, he takes everything he have. Verse 6, they took their livestock, their property, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan and came to Egypt. Jacob and all his descendants with him, his sons and his grandsons with him, his daughters and his granddaughters and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. And he is blessed beyond imagination at this point. For years, Jacob hadn't felt very blessed. For probably nearly 20 years, scholars estimate, he had lived with the thought that his son, his favorite son, had been mauled to death. And he lived with that grief and that loss and all the things that attended with it. And so he hadn't felt very blessed, but he was beginning to understand what Laura Story says in her song, Blessings. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if the trials of life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights are God's mercies in disguise? And so you see here in this whole list of the entourage that came to him, how many of his other people, his family, was blessed. As Joseph blesses Pharaoh, Pharaoh blesses Joseph's family. Joseph's family now through Jacob receives all the blessings here that pass on to this of getting to go into the safety of the land, the only land of abundance at that time. The region had been decimated by a famine. There were still several years of that famine to come, and now they were going to be provided for. They were going to be secure. They were going to be protected, and they were blessed simply by being related to Joseph. And how we bless others. Some of you raised in a Christian home. Man, I wish I'd had. Raised in a completely secular, God-given, very, very little attention. Oh, it was tradition back then. We had a Bible in the living room, but all it was set there was to collect dust and to get it dusted off once in a while. To not have that kind of background, but to be given that foundation in truth, that foundation in God's wisdom, that foundation in God's gift of salvation and grace. Why were you so blessed? You see, I didn't have the blessing some of you did. And you were blessed because your parents were blessing you, and they were blessed by another parent blessing them and someone bringing with them. What changed the life of Tom Osborne? You read his book about mentoring and everything else, you find it was because a minister came in her life who mentored a relative of his and set and changed the whole family's destiny. So many bless, and all around we see this, that when God blesses us, he doesn't just stop there. He uses us to bless others. And what a tremendous reality that is. Well, then finally, one thing I have to point out is that we are also blessed, according to the Bible, though we are unknown. And let's face it, we're all unknown, except in a very small, I haven't seen your name writ large on TV lately, you know, and tragically, sometimes in the past when it's been people I've known, they've often been have a number under their name and they're in a lineup, but that's another story. We really are known because at verse 8 through 27, we encounter one of those wonderful genealogies. Now, these are the names of the sons of Israel, Jacob and his sons who went into Egypt, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, the sons of Reuben, Hanok and Palu, and a bunch of names you would struggle to pronounce. Why are these here? I mean, really, they do nothing for us. Well, not really. These genealogies remind us of at least of one truth. They serve their purpose at one time indeed, but what they really show us is God never forgets his own. We don't know any of these people. We don't know anything about most of their history or anything except, oh, they're related to Jacob. Whoopee. We are unknown, but we are known by the one who matters most of all. The God of heaven and earth. There are no unknown people to our Lord. And even unless we're very, very exceptional, think about this, in just a couple of generations, your name will be forgotten by even your family, other than on very rare occasions. And even if the great-great-grandkids remember it, it's kind of like, okay, that was our great-great-grandparents. Next, that's how it's going to go, right? That's how it's going to be. But God never forgets. And so he will continue to bless. We continue to bless us. And so we are indeed hashtag blessed, because all through our life, though unknown to the world and many, many, many others, God never forgets. And so receive that, understand that, be blessed by that, and know that for us, all these blessings came to Jacob and to the brothers and all the kids and grandkids and everybody else because of Joseph. And we're going to explore that next week, as Joseph, the one who, very much like Christ, the mediator, who through his relationship with Pharaoh was the channel by which all these blessings came to his family. Just as Jesus is now the one who mediates all of God's blessings to us. That's why knowing Christ as Lord and Savior is absolutely essential, not just to get you to heaven, as amazing as that is, but to help turn your life into the direction where it can be truly blessed by God, sin forgiven, salvation yours, all of heaven yours, the people of God yours, and all the blessings that God pours out through Christ, they're yours. Blessed? Yeah, the hashtag blessed doesn't do it enough. Our singing, our rejoicing, our service, our sacrifice, our encouraging others, that makes it very real. Let's pray. Father, thank you that through your Son, all things are ours. Thank you for that. Thank you for blessing us through sending your Son, and continue to bless us by the power and presence of your Spirit, supplying needs, protecting us, helping us, remembering us when we feel forgotten, encouraging us, helping us. Truly blessed. Help us to receive it. Help us to know it. Help us to grow in this truth and be encouraged by it all, in Jesus' name.